Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Peoria has a $200 million stormwater problem with overflow and raw sewage discharging into the Illinois River. Its plan is to help solve that by introducing green infrastructure throughout the city. Our intern Ben Thomas Payne went to Peoria last week to walk through one of the city's pilot programs in the city's warehouse district.
I'm Anthony Corso, and I'm the director of the innovation team for the city of Peoria. We're actually on site right now for a pilot project to demonstrate the green infrastructure, a complete green streets project approach, and how we can get multiple community benefits. This is the warehouse district for the city of Peoria, and it's a portion of the old industrial zone. Certainly had a lot of distilleries and things back when this was the whiskey capital of the world. A lot of different industries grew up here, and it's still very industrial in its use, but it's starting to slowly transform. So we're looking across the street, and what you'll see is you'll see maybe a parking lane and then what used to be three lanes of traffic, one-way traffic, and then another parking lane on the other side. So it's a pretty wide street, but the traffic here doesn't justify such a wide street. And so one of the strategies to align with the work that's been done and the complete streets policy of the city, and you know, bringing this back to maybe the character that it used to have, was that we're going to narrow up the street. We're going to have two traffic lanes. And on each side of those traffic lanes, we're going to have bicycle lanes. And then we're going to have parking that is on the street as well. But you know, at the ends of the parking spaces, we'll have what are called bulb outs. It's where the corners are actually extended out into the street so that you can, it's a shorter walking distance for pedestrians to cross the street. And it also gets at the real psychological component of driving, where you may post a 25 or 30 mile an hour, 35 mile an hour speed limit, but if your streets are really wide, you tend to be comfortable driving fast, and hence you do. And what that does is kind of, you know, helps reduce the speed of drivers, and so it makes it safer for all users. So automobiles, bicyclists, pedestrians, and all other users should have a kind of safer, more comfortable experience on the street. You know, there are best practices here where you bring street trees back, and you'll notice we're standing under a tree right now. It's because standing out on a day like today, even though it's beautiful weather, in the sun is really uncomfortable. So it discourages people from walking, maybe from their office down to get a bite to eat. Instead, they're going to hop in their car and drive a few blocks. So those details are really important. You know, the street trees being spaced appropriately. So within maybe 10 years, you've got a canopy that provides shade for pedestrians.
Thanks to Ben Thomas Payne for that. And Anthony Corso is joining us now from he's on the line from his office in Peoria. Hi, Anthony. Welcome to the 21st.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Anthony, we were just hearing about how you're trying to solve this stormwater problem. I thought we should start with the stormwater issue. That's part of why you're doing all of this, the green infrastructure and the green streets for the cities. So I know there's some overflow and raw discharge into the Illinois River. What's actually happening?
Well, so this is a larger conversation. This is an ongoing, like 700 plus communities across the United States. We've got older portions of town that were built out with sewers to drain roadways, and then indoor plumbing came online, and those were plugged into those same pipes. And so what happened, fast forward, is you get to the point where rain events and snow melt, even sometimes, depending on the city and the sewer sheds, cause basically an overwhelming of the system, and you get diluted raw sewage that can flow into waterways. And so it's not a wholly unique problem to the city of Peoria, but it is something that cities have been grappling with, particularly since the Clean Water Act, and trying to clean up those kinds of issues with infrastructure.
Right, and that's why the EPA, I know, has gotten involved. How will these streets and green improvements help?
So the city's been looking at least for the last couple years, you know, the innovation of using green as opposed to gray, which is pipes and tanks. And that was so the Public Works in particular looking at, well, this is the innovation that's happening in this space. And what the innovation team started to work on, and my team started to work on, is like, how do we leverage that? How do we expand that and allow for multiple community benefits? And so this green infrastructure, looking at all those kind of co-benefits that come along with it, not just beautification, but obviously if you're going to do, traffic calming or green infrastructure, it can also function as traffic calming, and you can enhance and add street trees, and you can do all these other things. You can create some synergies with local businesses and those types of things.
What's been the reaction from the EPA so far? Because I know part of your job is to convince the EPA that this is a part of a modification that will help, correct?
Well, certainly there's a team from the city, and it is an ongoing legal negotiation, but by and large, the concept has been well received, and so the details are being worked out. But the idea of taking this in Peoria, roughly 8 square miles of the city that's a combined sewer area, and you know, resolving the issues with combined sewer overflows with this kind of network of complete green streets, or using this green infrastructure throughout to really connect people and places, to, you know, get those benefits while removing those gallons. That's the, you know, the important, removing those gallons of runoff, and, you know, kind of preventing those combined sewer overflows to the greatest extent possible. That's the goal. And I think it's been largely pretty well received because of, you know, it's something that you're going to be able to see as opposed to maybe buried pipes and tanks. This is something that residents will realize, and really the end users, those people that, that use the city and travel through the city, will see the enhancements and the, and all benefit from it all at once. So,
yeah, I wonder, Anthony, if you can connect the dots for us for how dealing with stormwater relates to other issues like transportation and walkability, how you sort of put all of these, how you are able to connect all of these things.
It is kind of you know, a natural evolution or re-evolution. I mean, this was always all connected historically, and we got a little bit away from that, and at least the latter half of the 20th century, really focusing on the automobile and not paying as much attention to the pedestrian and the cyclist and those sorts of things. And so, you know, it really does tie together. And if you look internationally, even the work that's going on within cities is they're really taking a close look at the streets. In North America in particular, it's our primary public space. So rebalancing the equation for users really makes a lot of sense. We don't have a lot of squares and plazas in most cities and small towns. And so, you know, making this public space, these streets, work better for all users is really important to increasing livability and resilience and those kinds of things.
Do you see a time when you think that the residents of Peoria will be more out of their cars, there'll be more walkability, there'll be a little bit more of what you sort of envision, as you said, within 10 years, having more streets, more people on bikes and kind of in those spaces instead of in their cars?
Yeah, I mean, it takes time, but I think, you know, with every project, you know, once there's an official green light and we move forward, and I think even realizing this with the pilot project that was referenced before, you know, measuring those impacts, seeing, you know, how pedestrian use and, you know, how many more people are walking to use that and to get to those spaces, how many more people are biking because now it's more comfortable to bike on that street. So we hope to see, obviously, some very short-term or medium-term impacts, but it is something that takes time as you're building out infrastructure. And, you know, it's really over a generation probably that the transformation will be taking place. And, you know, we hope it happens that way and that we really realize all those benefits that we're targeting.
I'm speaking with Anthony Corso. He's the Chief Innovation Officer for Peoria. And Anthony, how are you all communicating with Peoria residents about these green innovations or about sort of how the city sees this as an important step in its future?
Right. And you know, that's a great point because that public engagement and that outreach is so important. And it's not just to even the residents. It's even understanding that, you know, the innovation model coming in, it really is to create some space and some time and some resources to, you know, tap those staff people that are out there all the time and see opportunities for improvement, and it can share those and they can be explored further. But certainly going out to the businesses, going out to the end users, and what we've done is we've had a number of committees and outreach events and including for this pilot project, 2 public meetings where we really talk about the goals for a green street and the goals for a complete street and how this might impact, you know, the residents that are there and the neighbors, as well as, you know, folks that live outside of the neighborhood or visitors to those locations, and kind of have those public conversations and get feedback based on kind of the principles that were set forth.
Anthony, you're the city's first chief innovation officer. I know you left a job as an urban planner in Chicago to come back to your hometown and then to take this position. Why did you want to do that?
Yeah, I came back and actually was in private practice for a while before jumping in with the city a few years later. But the you know, it's an incredible opportunity from my perspective, certainly, to come back to your hometown. You know, take these best practices and these ideas from across the country and around the world and really use them to transform, you know, your hometown for the better. And so it was just kind of, you know, something I couldn't keep myself away from. And it's been some incredible engagement, incredible conversations. And, you know, so here I am.
Well, as you're talking about the walkability and having bike paths, those are things certainly we've seen really a big change in the city of Chicago within the walkability and the bike paths. Certainly within the past couple of years, that's been a really important part of Mayor Emanuel's making the downtown and the city more accessible. He thinks for younger people who want to bike to work. Do you think it's harder to transplant those ideas to smaller cities like Peoria, where you maybe don't have the tax base and the resources?
Yeah, there are always challenges. I think the great part here is that, you know, over the last few years in particular, there's been a lot more support, and certainly city council, the mayor, the city manager, and staff and department heads have made this a priority, that they understand that, you know, maintaining talent, drawing new talent, you know, young professionals in particular, but certainly residents want those walkable communities, and in some cases restoring walkable communities and access to amenities, and those are this kind of infrastructure is what you know, keeps or brings those kinds of amenities and those people to these neighborhoods to live, work, and play. And so you know, I think that it's been kind of you know, it kind of became less so over a number of generations, and now, you know, we have the slow migration back to really about cities for people. And so, you know, I think there is a good bit of support and a good bit of opportunity, no matter what size the city is, to really figure out what you can do, whether it's restriping a street if you don't have the budget to rebuild one, to really kind of, again, look at those, you know, what you can do for the end users to make it a street for all users, and really look at streets as public space and as connectors of people and places.
Anthony, I know Peoria is only one of 12 cities across the country that got a Bloomberg Philanthropies grant to try to work on these municipal issues, create the I-team. What else are you guys working on?
So we just started into kind of discussions and research in the middle of the second priority. So the teams do kind of work from, you know, in a large issue, which is identified as a priority for the city. And then as they start working into starting programs, they start identifying and doing research on new issues that are a big issue for the city. And so certainly there's a neighborhood scale economic development conversation happening now that we're just starting research on to look into. So we'll be looking more at some of these ideas that dovetail quite well, honestly, at least in the combined sewer area with the combined sewer area work, but certainly benefit the entire city to really look at, you know, what were historically kind of these economic engines for neighborhoods, how do we bring those back online and use those to create opportunity for maybe folks that live in those neighborhoods that are looking to grow their business or have that entrepreneurial spirit and looking for an opportunity to do something that would provide a value to their neighbors and to their community. So that's where the conversation is going now. It's a really exciting one to have, and I think good timing to have it.
Anthony, one last question for you. Do you think that as other cities are looking to maybe try to figure out how to innovate more, do you think having a position like yours, a chief innovation officer, is necessary to be able to bridge different departments?
I think that it's like many of the things that are around now in terms of positions that, you know, the ultimate goal is to put yourself out of business. But it does, you know, it is an enabler in the sense that it provides some additional resources and avenues to bring people together around, you know, common issues and really find, you know, use a way of thinking and a way of working that helps add capacity for this innovation, you know, to think about how the different departments could work together towards a common goal, to realize, you know, and identify who those partners are in the community, whether individuals or organizations that can really be part of the solution more so than they've been in the past, for a number of reasons. And so I do think this really does, you know, add some real advantage and capacity to local government to work in this way and have this type of mechanism. But I am obviously biased in that regard.
Well, thanks for taking the time to be with us. That's Anthony Corso. He's the Chief Innovation Officer in Peoria.
Thank you very much.
That's all the time we have for today on the 21st. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about home birth. We're going to be speaking with the director of the first downstate independent birth center in Bloomington Normal. It's the first one outside of Chicago. They just started accepting new patients this week. We're also going to be talking to mothers about why they choose to do home birth. You can always find all the information to contact on us our website. That's www.21stshow.org. There you'll find ways to download our podcasts, whether that's via the NPR One app, iTunes, or Android. You can find our voicemail and email and social media links to our Facebook and Twitter page. Again, that's at www.21stshow.org. I'm Nyla Boodoo. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening.